morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Who in here feels like there is something that they could maybe be doing to maybe help boost or improve their health and well-being? Yeah. Have you tried lots of things before that haven't stuck or have failed? Yeah. Me too. It's part of growing in life, isn't it? So I am Jen Wilson, the Healing Rebel, and I went back to college to study health, wellbeing and fitness in 2009 when I was 30. And then I went on to do my degree in sport and exercise science, so I was really passionate about learning how to do things to help myself. Within my peer group, I was known as Fitness Jane. I was the one that every day looked to for the health and fitness advice. But then, in 20, got a voice, got things to say, haven't you? In 2017, I was diagnosed with a health condition that has changed my life forever. So I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease and then endometriosis. Both of them are inflammatory conditions. And now that I'm heading towards 45, we're going to add into that loop perimenopause and menopause. Really? Is there anything else that you can throw at me? Probably, but I don't want to tempt fate. Thank you, I have enough. So when I went into this journey of exploration, I started with, what was it I did wrong? There was a lot of finger pointing at myself, there was a lot of blame. Is there something that I've missed? Is there something I could have done better? And there was something that I missed. I missed listening to my own body. I missed listening to my inner wisdom that had been deconditioned out of me from when I was a young child. I was told when I was allowed to speak. I was told when I had to eat. I was told when I had to sit down. I was told when I had to stand up. All the way through from nursery, through school, through high school, you were deconditioned to listening to your own body. If you needed to go to the toilet, you could only go at break time. If you were hungry, you could only eat at that time, at the break times. There was no honouring of what you knew was right for you. I knew as a small child that when it came to break time, I actually wanted to be in a quiet place, away from the noise and bustle of the classroom, but I was told to get outside and go and play with the other kids. So my nervous system then was always on high alert. It was never getting to be in a place of soothing. So what... Check, I'm not going off on a tangent here. So what I have learned over the last 7.5-8 years is how to listen to that inner wisdom, and I've created some structure around the key things that really, really, truly helped me, and that's my five pillars of healing. Now I'm trying to condense this into a 20-minute talk. I teach this in my membership, which you can be in it for as long as a month or for a lifetime. I have some of the information about this in my book called 9 Rules to Sort Your Shit. There is a raffle prize in there, but it's also developed since I wrote that book. So these five pillars are what I'm going to go through with you today. So the first one is, do you know your values and do you live by your values? Now, I've worked with women who are in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and when I've asked them this question, they're like, Jen, I don't even know what you mean by that. What are your values? So your values are your inner compass, your inner knowing, the guidance that when you make a decision, you know it's the right decision. When you make a decision that's the wrong, you know it's the wrong decision because you're not being true to your values. One of my most important values is freedom. For me, that has potentially a very different meaning than for somebody else. So for me, freedom is being able to go to the supermarket without having to take my partner to take me there. For me, freedom is having a house that I don't have a mortgage to pay on anymore, which means that I might be living in a slightly poorer area of the city and I don't have a garden, but I'm okay with that because I'd rather have that than have the weight of a mortgage around my neck. But that's true for me. For somebody else, if freedom was their value, it might be completely different. It might be not having a house, travelling the world, not having a partner. So when you work out what your values are, it's really important that you know what that definition means to you. Honesty is another one. Integrity is another one. When I teach this, I give people like a spreadsheet with loads of words, over 100 words. That's not a definitive list. you might have different vocabulary for things, and get them to go through and like, what's really important to you, how you show up in life, and how other people show up for you. And that helps you start to identify what those values are. And when you first do the task, you might have 4 or 5 that you can settle on. And then as you learn more about yourself and you work with these values, you might think, actually, no, they've changed. So they are changeable. They're not the, this is it, this is me forever. When I first did this, one of the things that I felt was really important to me was feeling needed and feeling wanted. They are way down on that list, because I have grown and developed myself to value myself more. And that's not to say that being wanted or needed is a bad value to have, but for me, just as I learned more about myself and my nature rather than my nurture, I was able to go, okay. So once you get these values, it's really important for you to ask it, are you truly living to those values? Are you, if honesty is one of them, are you being honest in every single decision that you take, or are you giving yourself a wee bit of leeway to do a white lie to please somebody else? To being able to tune into these values, get comfortable with them for you, make sure that you're living with them, because when you make a decision based on those values, you feel amazing. You're like, yes, this is right for me and how I want to move forward in life. The next one is hydration. Now, usually when I ask people about how well they're hydrated, oh, I definitely need to drink more water. Oh yeah, I definitely don't drink enough. It's a really good test to see whether or not you are dehydrated is to get your hand and pinch the skin on the back of your hand, let it go, and then see if it pings or deflates. So if it kind of goes down like a burst balloon, just slowly letting air out, then you're a little bit dehydrated. If it springs back, then your body is well hydrated. So your skin is a really good test, because your body wants to hydrate the vital organs first, so it takes the water into your brain, your heart, your digestion, your liver. Your skin, although it holds everything in, it can be dry and not be a major problem. So that's where your body will take the fluid from first. Now, if you are a sweaty person, if you're an anxious person, if you are in air conditioned or central heating, if you don't drink enough, then your body's going to be dehydrated at different times throughout the year. It can be more hydrated or less hydrated. The foods that you eat as well, if you eat a lot of watery foods, soups, vegetables, they can help hydrate you, so it doesn't always need to be glasses of water. 2 top tips that I have for helping you get better hydration is filter your tap water so that you're removing the chemicals that they put in it to clean it, because your body recognises those chemicals as something that it doesn't need, so it pushes it through the detoxification system and eliminates it. And adding something to your water so that your body recognises that this has valuable content. So adding some minerals can be as simple as putting a tiny pinch of salt into your glass of water, just to give it some minerals that your body recognises that as being useful. If you put a slice of cucumber or a slice of lemon or some lime or any like a herb, mint or basil or something in it, your body will then recognise that as being much more valuable. And don't drink ice cold water. If you're drinking ice cold water, your body needs to warm that water up to be at the body temperature so that it can absorb it in. So people who drink ice water tend to find that they pee a lot. That's because the water's going in one end, straight back out the other. And it's not getting a chance to hydrate you properly. The next pillar is your breath. When I talk to people about breath, they go, oh, I hold my breath a lot. They go, okay, let's exhale. So if we as a collective just now just go and notice where you're holding breath into the upper part of your chest. When we're concentrating, when we're stressed, we tend to take a breath in and hold on to it, cling on to it really tight. So if you have a busy life, you probably, as soon as you open the laptop and start looking at your emails, you likely take a breath in and forget to take the breath back out, because your brain and your body is away doing something else. You're in your sympathetically driven side of your nervous system, which is a great part of your nervous system for action, for sometimes it's called your fight and flight system, but it also helps you get motivated to do things, so it's not the bad side of the nervous system. But when you exhale, that's when you activate your parasympathetic nervous system. So that's where you rest and digest, where you let go of what you don't need to be holding on to. First thing you do when you come into this world is take an inhale. The baby in the room can testify to that. As soon as she came into this world, she will have taken an inhale. A lot of babies start to then scream out to help get that air coming through. The last thing you do when you leave this earth is you take an exhale and you let go and you move on to wherever it is that we move on to. Everything in between that is life. Now, there are lots of, like, breathing is very on vogue at the moment. It's very fashionable to do breathing workshops and breathing techniques, and there are people who will claim that this particular modality of breathing is going to heal your body and you must do this protocol every single day and that will heal. From my personal experience, some of those breathing techniques have been harmful to my body. So it comes back to then listen to your body. So by all means, learn the different techniques, try them out, see how they feel in your body. And if your body's like going into a state of heightened anxiety, particularly for women, because for our menstrual cycle, we are more prone to anxiety. Some of these breathing techniques actually stimulate that anxiety and make you feel worse. So it's really important that listen to the teacher, learn what the teacher has to say, but know that your body's response is true for you. And if it doesn't feel right, you're not wrong. You are right, because that's your own personal experience. The next one is movement. We need to move our bodies probably a lot more than we already do. Even if you exercise 4 or 5 times a week, what do you do for the rest of the day? Are you sitting at a desk? Are you getting up, driving to work, sitting at a desk, driving home, coming back to sit on the sofa to watch the TV for the night, maybe throwing a wee 1 hour class in there somewhere? 2020 came, most of us didn't even get into the car to drive anywhere. We got up and went to the dining room table and then moved even less. We have all these joints in our body that are here for a reason. They are meant to be moved. If we don't move our body, the body then starts to think, from the evolutionary perspective, that's not needed anymore, so let's ease that up. So as you start to age, when you get out of bed and you're like, oh, my back, oh, my hips, oh, my knees, oh, my feet, that's because you're maybe not getting as much nourishing movement into your joints. When you move your body, your joints are always getting moisturised from the inside, so hydration there, really important. When we're breathing, if we're using the full capacity of our lungs, the lungs fill up into this torso, into the ribcage area, which then expands out, creates some movement, comes back in. If you're only breathing into the chest, that part's not happening. And around, that's then going to, if you are taking those full breaths, it helps with digestion, it helps regulate your heartbeat, it helps move your poo around so that you don't get constipated and you can get to the toilet. All of these things are really important. And if we are sitting stagnant all the time, nothing in the body is getting to move in the way that it's meant to. We need to be able to come up and move all of our joints without pain, unless you've been in an accident. You should be able to circle your shoulders around, you should be able to twist and turn, you should be able to reach down towards the floor and be able to get down to the floor and back up without being in agony from doing that. That only comes with practice. If you watch a small child when they are moving, getting down, getting up, moving around, they do it with so much ease. Then we go to school, we get put in a chair, we're told not to move. We decondition that ability all the way through the rest of our life, and we learn that this is just the normal. So I would invite you to think about, how can you bring a little bit more movement into your life? So if you've got a desk job, can you get up and go to the toilet and then come back, and then get up and go and make a cup of tea and then come back, so that you're getting these wee regular breaks up and down out your seat, rather than sitting there, I'll go to the toilet later and I'll get the cup of tea while I'm out at the toilet, and trying to put everything into that wee one thing. And it can just do one thing at a time, and then that gives your body more nourishment. It also makes you, if you're doing that in a work capacity, it makes you more productive taking those breaks. For every 20 to 30 minutes that you're sitting, you should do about 3 minutes of movement, getting all the joints moving through. The last one is loving your lymphatic system. So your lymphatic system is your internal sewage system, your internal drainage system. If your body is stagnant, you're not moving. If you are not taking full breaths, if you're dehydrated, your lymphatic system is not going to be flushing out the toxins in your body. If you've got toxins stuck in your body, that then creates inflammation. Chronic inflammation then creates illness and disease later on in life. So the more that we can move our bodies, the more that we can breathe, the more that we keep hydrated, that's going to then help get the lymphatic system moving, help flush out those toxins that we do not need to be holding on to in our bodies. And our bodies will, if we're holding on to too many toxins, what the body will do is it will wrap those toxins in fat cells and hold on to them until it's safe for your body to be able to eliminate them. So if you are struggling to lose weight, I would be looking at your lymphatic system. Can you do stuff to help support that and move on? And I teach techniques to help do this. And one of the most important places that you need to clear is around your collarbones. So if you place your hand over your collarbone, if you can get onto your bare skin, that is better. And you're just placing the weight of your hand on there and then pulling very gently towards your heart. And it's just, you're not digging in, you're not trying to massage the area, you're just trying to move the skin there, and then do the same thing on the other side. So if you can do that a few times a day, that's going to help clear your terminal point. Your terminal point is where your lymphatic system drains off so that the toxins can then get processed through the liver or the kidneys to then be eliminated out of your body. Just come in here every now and again. It can feel nice to do that as well, because you're touching onto yourself, so your nervous system goes, oh, that feels so nice. It doesn't know it's just your hand. It just feels the touch and goes, oh, that's nice, that's nourishing. And if you do that with your movement, with your breath, with your hydration, it's going to help get your body into this space where your body can rest, it can heal. You'll start to be able to then notice things that are going on in your body. Oh, I'm starting to get a bit tight in the hips here. Oh, hang on, I've been sitting for too long. Let me stand up, let me move around, let me free that up. But if we've been deconditioned to listen to that wisdom, I'll get this job done first and then I'll come back to it. And then you don't, because then the day is over and you're away to bed going, oh, I should have done that movement earlier on. The way I teach is, how can you look at what you're already doing and just tweak the things that you're doing just now, rather than trying to add more into your day? Because most of us are already busy, we're overwhelmed, we're information overload. Let's just tweak the wee things that you're already doing. If you're drinking water, can you add something to it to make it more hydrating? You breathe anyway because you're sitting here, you're alive. So can we take more intentional breaths? We are hopefully moving when we get up out of our bed. Can we maybe get up out of bed, have a wee stretch, have a wee twist, have a wee turn? If we're sitting all day, can we create some more movement? I've started sharing some wee videos. This just started yesterday, so for the next 12 days I've got a wee video going out on the social media of just how to move when you're in the kitchen waiting for the kettle to boil. Do a couple of movements, or sitting at your desk moving a wee bit more. So wee tips there just to help get ideas, rather than, oh, I've got to go and put my gym kit on and put a mat out and do whatever it is that you're going to do. You don't have to, you can just tweak the things that you're already doing. And I made it before the timer went off. Does anybody have any questions? 1:32 to go, well done me. No tangents today. Does anybody have any questions? Anytime that suits you. When you're doing it, it's really good to pay attention to how you feel. So some people, when they do it, feel really energised, so you wouldn't want to do that before you went to bed. Some people find it really relaxing, so doing it right before your bed could be beneficial. But just doing it would be the first request of get into a habit of doing it. So when I do mine, I'll do half of it as I'm getting into the shower in the morning. So how I put my body scrub on, I'll start at the collarbones, work my way through my body, and then at the end of the day I'll do my head and my neck, and I'll just do massaging, because I find the lower half of my body stimulating, the upper half of my body relaxing. So just, and then it means that the whole thing's getting done to get the benefits of it. That's your question. Anybody?
Especially magnesium, mm-hmm. especially for my age,
yeah.
is amazing.
Yeah.
I've not looked back since I started taking that.
Yeah, magnesium is brilliant because it helps with your immune function and with your nervous system regulation.
Before I go to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's different types of supplement, like magnesium supplements on the market. Some of them are better for soothing. So magnesium glycinate is really good for taking at night time to help soothe and help sleep. Magnesium citrate is really good if you're constipated and your bowels are not moving. So some people can be quite sensitive to some magnesiums because it can give them diarrhea. So come back, listen to your body, notice what that's doing for you. Magnesium baths are great. So if you get Epsom salts, that's a great way to get it into your body, particularly if your gut is sensitive to taking oral magnesium. And the only other supplement that I would say for the majority would be a vitamin D3 with K2, because we see the weather. we don't get enough vitamin D, and vitamin D is so vitally important for all functions in your body. Those two supplements, and then anything else would be specific and unique to the individual. So getting your blood panel done to see where you're deficient or where you're not, because you can spend money on stuff that you're just peeing out the other end, and you might be taking something that your body doesn't absorb. So I would, if your doctor is happy to run a vitamin and mineral blood panel for you, getting information and then being able to tweak it from that saves you a fortune.
I was going to ask, I drink loads of water. I thought we had quite good water here, but is there water, like, preferable for a filter, you're saying?
Well, water's got chlorine added to it, which is beneficial to kill off bacteria, but the chlorine's a bleach. So if you're drinking something with a bleach in it, you're killing the microbes in your own body, and your body will recognise that chlorine as a toxin. So it will be like, we need to get rid of this as quickly as possible. So, and it depends where in the country you live as well. Like if you live up north where you're getting spring water, it's less chemically treated than city water. Mm-hmm. City water is more chemically treated. So I personally, I can smell the chlorine off my tap water. So I always filter mine.
If you boil it, is it okay?
Yeah, well, if you boil it, that's taking everything out of your water. So it'll take the chlorine and it'll take it and boil most of any other chemicals that they put in it off. Then you're left with a purified water, which is fine, but you want to add something to that so you can drink it. So teas are brilliant, herbal teas are brilliant, because then you're getting the nourishment and benefits of the herbal whatever's in the herbs. And I would put, if you were going to boil the water, let it cool, I would then still add a wee pinch of salt. A lot of the bottled water are purified, so they've got no, unless it's a mineral water, like your Evian, your Fuji, your Volvic, they're mineral waters, so you've got them, they're okay, but then they're put in plastic bottles, so then you've got the chemicals from the plastic leaching it in. If you can get a glass or a ceramic cup, I would drink from that, but you could get paranoid and like totally freaked out about it. I have been there. So if what you're doing is working for you, don't get overstressed about it. But if you're like, I'm drinking loads of water but I still feel thirsty all the time, then filtering the water and adding something to it is going to be beneficial. Anything else? Any other questions?
Thank you
so much. Thank you.